In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Monday, September 21st, 2015 AD. This is The World View. In 5 minutes, I'm Adam McManus. A string of freeway shootings in Phoenix may be over now that 21-year-old Leslie Allen Merritt is in custody, police said. Merritt, who appeared in court Saturday, insisted that, quote, they have the wrong guy, unquote. His father said he did not think his son could ever do something like this and said he believed he was chosen as a much-needed scapegoat. Merritt was arrested Friday by a SWAT team in a local Walmart after police forensically linked a gun pawned by Merritt to the first four shootings. To establish his guilt, officials will need more evidence. God's word and our law does not allow for the conviction of any on the basis of a single witness. Deuteronomy 19:15 makes this plain, saying, a single witness shall not suffice against a person for any crime or for any wrong in connection with any offense that he has committed. Only on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses shall a charge be established. The faith-based ministry Global Strategic Alliance says the cradle of Christian civilization is being destroyed while the United States denies visas to those fleeing for their lives. Ministry President Reverend Kevin Jessup said, it's inappropriate for the United States of America to discriminate against the people of a minority religion who are in dire need of asylum. Not only have they ran and lost everything, but now, in many cases, we are seeing people facing another impending threat, and that is starvation. Grace Knott, Vice President of the Global Strategic Alliance, added, as far as our Christian brothers and sisters are concerned, they are facing imminent death. I believe that the church needs to wake up, and we need to revive that which is about to die. Knott's words are reminiscent of Revelation 3:1-2. And to the angel of the church in Sardis, write, the words of him who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. The wake-up call the ministry is offering is a fostering families program in which it's calling on over 1,000 churches in America to take in persecuted refugees from the ongoing crisis. A federal court has shut down the National Abortion Federation's attempt to prevent the Center for Medical Progress from releasing more of its undercover Planned Parenthood videos. According to Life News, the pro-abortion group filed in federal court seeking a temporary restraining order and preliminary injunction. The order was extended several times, but has now been blocked from permanence by the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. Meanwhile, President Obama has vowed to veto a new bill that would defund Planned Parenthood, as well as an act called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, sponsored by pro-life Congressman Trent Franks. The act would make failure to provide standard medical care to children born alive during an abortion a federal crime. It would also apply stronger penalties in cases where an overt act is taken to kill the abortion survivor. God has said, thou shalt not kill. Deuteronomy 20:13. In a further act of defiance against the God of the Bible, whom the president claims to worship, President Obama is nominating the nation's first openly homosexual leader of a military service. Longtime Pentagon official Eric Fanning was nominated to be the next Secretary of the Army. Warplanes pounded Yemen in the latest Saudi-led coalition air raid, attacking Yemen's interior ministry in the capital late Friday. The Omani Foreign Affairs Ministry said the residence of its ambassador was hit by a strike on Friday and denounced the act. The Syrian army conducted more than 24 airstrikes on ISIS-held positions in Palmyra, killing 26. The Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said it was one of the most sustained government bombardments of Palmyra since it was taken by jihadists. Syrian forces used very accurate air and ground weapons supplied by its ally, Russia, a source told Reuters. The possibility of greater military involvement by Russia has alarmed the United States. What can we do today? Watch and pray. And that's The World View on this Monday, September 21st, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Homeschool father of five, raising your kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado. Bill Jack also in the studio with us today as we take a look at some cultural issues as well as political issues. We try to take a look at the world, be sure that we are, as the men of Issachar, understanding the times. And that's why we constantly come back to current issues. And friends, it's because pretty much everybody listening to this radio program understands something of the media, has had some interaction with children's television programs since the 1970s, 1980s, and 1990s. We, for the most part, unless you're Amish, in which case you don't get internet and you, chances are you're not listening to this program.
No.
You have had some contact with the world out there. Therefore, I think it's important for us to take a biblical perspective on these issues. And if somebody's not taking a biblical position on the issues, friends, we're going to get sucked up into this machine, chewed up and spit out, and that's what's happening to the vast majority of Americans, because ultimately it's the cultural leaders from Hollywood that lead this nation. Come on. It ain't Chris Christie, and it ain't Ted Cruz, and it ain't Donald Trump. It's going to be the media, the culture, the public school systems. And, okay, here's another example of what we've been talking about for a number of years and why I wrote the book The Tattooed Jesus on pop culture. Bill, this is probably one of the worst stories that I've ever related on this radio program, and I would recommend your children not listen to the rest of this particular segment, because this is the kind of abominable activity that the demonic-infested Hollywood system is foisting upon the entire nation. This is the absolute worst, because they go after the kids. The agenda is to go after the kids. And that's, of course, why they've turned a lot of the Marvel Comics heroes into homosexuals over the last 3 years. And that's what they're doing with the Muppets as well. Now, 2 to 3 years ago, I was in hot water with most of the liberal media because we took issue with the Muppets, who took issue with Chick-fil-A. And apparently Chick-fil-A was buying the little Muppet toys and using little Muppet toys for the kid meals. And the Muppets said, you can't do that anymore. Because Chick-fil-A had taken a little bit of a position against homosexual marriage in 2012. I'm not sure where they are today, but at that time, they were maintaining something of a traditional approach while the rest of the nation was going downhill. So they were holding the line. And the Muppets said, ain't going to happen. And so they pulled out. And we suggested that Chick-fil-A go aggressive on this and not just compromise everything away, as most Christians do, but that they should hold the line. And we suggested, perhaps somewhat humorously, that they should offer a frog leg sandwich or Miss Piggy on a bun.
Ah, sounds tasty.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just threw it out. And as it turns out, most of the media out there did not support our suggestion.
But they were offended because you took on an icon? Because you were going to cut off the legs of an icon?
They'd already ruined the icon. And that was my point. Is they had already ruined the child's icon by defining these children's icons by the issue of homosexuality.
Which is very clever.
And I warned parents about this 2 to 3 years ago. And now what are they doing on ABC News? They got a brand new Muppets show coming out this season. This has been covered by Fox News, Todd Starnes, and also WorldNet Daily. And they're developing an adult program with the Muppets. Now, this is shocking stuff, my friends. This is shocking stuff. Here's what they're doing. They're presenting Kermit the Frog in full frontal nudity. Apparently, this is the way they're pushing the show. It's a program that is apparently the first primetime show that's going to feature full frontal nudity. So this is the way they're
pushing
it.
And they can get by with it because it's a puppet.
That's right. The Daily Mail noted that the new Muppets will cover topics like sex, drugs, and interspecies relationships. That is bestiality. Now, I've also taken a position against bestiality on this program. I think I referred to a Star Trek instance of it a while back and got into more hot water on that one. See, anytime you take a position against bestiality or homosexuality, you're going to be in hot water. Now, sadly, not too many Christians support me on this. But I would really encourage Christians to oppose the Muppets.
Yeah.
And I don't, and interspecies relationships. I would really encourage them to oppose this.
Because happens here is that the attempt is to break down the barrier by using humor, by using something that is innocent, okay, puppets. And then what that does is it breaks down the barrier and gets us to accept what is the unacceptable, to think about what is the unthinkable, because it's merely just a kid's entertainment show.
Well, talking about a bear in a relationship with a human. Okay, now this is what is known as bestiality, friends. This is bestiality. Now, I make jokes about it, saying they have kids, are they going to use the bathroom in the woods and so forth? So this is sick. Okay, this is sick. The Bible actually does refer to bestiality and calls it a capital crime. That is, in a society where this kind of thing is accepted, which is what we're talking about with the Muppets program, those who participate in this kind of thing are worthy of the death penalty as defined by biblical law. Okay, so now I'm not saying that we bring it into the present day, but I am saying that the Bible considers this to be such a severe moral infraction that, at least in the Old Testament, it was deserving of the death penalty. That's how bad it was. And I know there are a few Christians who are saying now those laws aren't repeated in the New Testament, so we have a lot more liberty in those areas.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I hope not.
No.
I hope not.
No. But once you have a culture that accepts homosexuality,
you're gonna accept all these other things.
Then where is the line?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. And that's why they're introducing interspecies relationships, because remember, from an evolutionary perspective, what's the big deal?
Right.
Number one, in an evolutionary perspective, there can be no transcendent law or morality. Okay. Number two, how else do you advance the species unless the species intermate? Okay. And it's the breakdown of the whole idea of species. And of course, it also defies the idea that humans were made in the image of God and have something of a distinctive characteristic above the animals. All right. Well, now what's the thing that really offends me here? Oh, there's so much that offends me. And I don't offend people. Anybody who's ever seen The Muppets, anybody who's ever seen Sesame Street, and we did in the 1970s.
Yep.
It's one of the few shows my parents let us watch. I'm telling you, they didn't let us watch much, but Sesame Street seemed like it was wholesome. It was a kid's show, you know. Well, here's what happens, friends. This is what's happening to me and Bill and hundreds of millions of other kids raised with the Muppets. This is what they're doing. Number one, you have demonic powers that have control over the children's icons. They controlled the children's media by way of Hollywood. Then they twist it and they move it in their direction. Just like the Pied Piper from Hamelin. They take a society to hell with them and they use that children's media and those children's icons to guarantee that the next generation will be pro-homosexual or pro-bestiality. It's the agenda. It's the same agenda. It's the same machine that used Hannah Montana and turned into Miley Cyrus. And before you knew it, we were, as a nation, as perverted as you can possibly be. And all the little 12 and 13, 14-year-old girls that were hanging out with Hannah Montana and buying the Hannah Montana posters from Walmart. Remember, yep. They were everywhere.
Yep.
Now are led by this cultural leader right down into the sewer to support every abomination you can imagine.
If I recall, Miley Cyrus even had a devotional book out. If I'm not mistaken, when she was much younger, she had a devotional book out.
I wouldn't doubt it. She was baptized into her Southern Baptist church 7 or 8 years ago. And friends, the point is that culture is a river. And you don't just analyze where it is. You need to know the heart of it. You need to know who's producing it. And that will ultimately determine the direction by way in which it goes. And that's where culture is going. It's moving in a direction. And so once you jump onto those systems and once you plug your kids into those television programs, that will pretty much guarantee the direction they will take in their lives. That's why you've got to be discerning. You've got to be discerning. Get my book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Jesus Would Say about pop culture at our website, kevinswanson.com or generationswithvision.com. Be back in just a moment on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Hello, brothers. As a fellow man, I understand the intimidation that comes with shepherding a family. Sometimes I don't even know how to use the scriptures to help my wife and children or others within my church. I want to be able to lead others. How can I be equipped? Well, Generations with Vision is hosting the 4th annual Shepherds Conference from October 5th through the 9th in Elizabeth, Colorado, just south of the Denver Metro. At this conference, you can get real answers to your questions. Interact with experienced pastors and shepherds and learn the importance of biblical doctrine in shepherding and discipling others in your family and church. You are invited to join Kevin Swanson, Marcus Servin, Scott Brown, and other pastors from October 5th through the 9th in Elizabeth, Colorado. To register, go to generationswithvision.com/shepherds. That's generationswithvision.com/shepherds.
We're back on the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack also in studio. Now, Bill, I reacted to that last story. And I know from time to time I receive a bit of a criticism for my emotional overreactions to the kinds of things that happen. I want you to analyze the way I reacted to that story before we move on.
Kevin, I don't think you overreacted. In fact, I thought you reacted in a rather even-handed, mild way, because this is so disgusting that what they would do is take something that was used to teach children basic skills, math.
Yes.
That's what Sesame Street was.
Right. Right.
And then take that and distort it and pervert it to the point where we're now teaching them perversion. It reminds me when our kids were little, my wife was looking at the TV and she says, "Oh, kids, come in here." Both boys. She said, "Come in here. This is one of my favorite movies when I was in high school. When I was in high school, I saw this movie and it was just the best movie, and it was Grease."
Mm-hmm.
She sits down and they start watching it, and she's shocked at what is in the movie, and she turns it off immediately. You see, this is just the reverse of that with the Muppets. People trust the Muppets to teach their kids values. They trust the Muppets to educate their kids, and so they're going to say, "Okay, kids, come in, let's sit down. This was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid." And now they've distorted it and perverted it, and they've defiled what childhood is to be. Childhood is to be innocent, and they're going to defile that with the Muppets. And that is so disgusting, because this, just think of how perverse this is to take puppets and use them to teach sexual perversion.
Yeah.
What does that tell you about the hand that's in the puppet?
Yeah,
what does that tell you about the mind that is voicing the puppet? That's what is so perverse about this, and disgusting, and evil, and vile.
Bill,
now,
I think,
I'm overreacting.
Yeah,
I don't
overreacting.
Think so.
Bill, I think what's happening is we're finally realizing that we can't follow Hollywood. We can't follow the principalities and powers that rule these systems. We need to be a little more discerning.
Yeah, this is the hand that rocks the cradle. This is the hand that moves the puppet's mouth, is now teaching our kids.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story. This is a story concerning the Pope's visit to America this week.
From puppets to popes.
Yeah. And
you know
again,
what?
And again, we're going to look at the influence of governments, as well as the church, the Roman Catholic Church in this case.
Because I think the Pope is being used as a puppet
it
by
seems
the president.
To me, it seems to me that's what's happening with this current meeting. We've referred to this already, and apparently the president is not interested in talking about anything but the redistribution of the wealth, because the common ground he holds with the Pope has to be in this area of socialism, Marxism. He's all on board on that. And so they're going to talk about that. But it turns out that's not the only thing that they're going to talk about, or at least Obama is going to talk about, because President Obama is testing Pope Francis by inviting what this one author says is a rogues gallery of people opposed to Catholic teaching to greet the pontiff at the White House during his visit next week. In a stunning show of political indecorum, Obama has invited a series of individuals who publicly flout Catholic teaching, including a pro-abortion religious sister, a transgender woman, and the first openly gay Episcopal bishop, along with at least two Catholic gay activists.
Are you serious?
Yeah, yeah. He's got all them planned to show up this week to greet the Pope. So this guy, I believe this is from Fox News, he thinks this is the profound insult against the Pope. One of the invitees, retired Episcopal Bishop Gene Robinson, made history by becoming the first openly homosexual Episcopal bishop in 2003 and subsequently the first to divorce his gay partner in 2014 after having previously separated from his wife of 14 years.
Yeah, he's from New Hampshire.
He's a total loser.
On
every case, He has attended a number of religious events with the Obama administration, offering a prayer at breakfast at President Obama's inauguration in 2009. Also took part in the 2014 National Prayer Breakfast. So there he was in all of his moral decadence and failures as the great moral leader, the one who is touted by the President of the United States. Now, the President of the United States, that is Barack Obama, as I see it, is as close to Nero as any leader since Nero. It seems to me, Bill. Number one, he's pro-infanticide, so he's got the blood on his hands. He's got about as much blood on his hands as any other political character in history. And he's also by far the most pro-homosexual cheerleader that any nation has seen. Name somebody else who is as committed to homosexuality and as committed to homosexual marriage as Nero, since Nero. When you think about Cromwell, or you think about even, you know, the Georges, King George the First and Second and Third, King James the First, some see him as homosexual, but he was never out of the closet with it. He wouldn't take it out of the closet. If King James the First was a homosexual, he never left the closet.
Yeah.
All there was rumors. So now, you know, we're way out of the closet on this. So again, friends, is there any political leader in history since Nero as wicked as our president? Somebody name somebody. You know, you might talk about Hitler or Stalin. Yes, they have blood on their hands, lots of blood on their hands. But so does our leader. And, you know, if somebody's out there trying to distinguish between the killing of a baby and the killing of a grown adult, forget about it, okay? Forget about it. I don't see a distinction there between an innocent child in his mother's womb versus somebody who's 30 years old in some concentration camp somewhere. I don't draw that distinction. Somebody name somebody as bad as Nero, since Nero, and I think you're going to wind up with President
Barack Obama.
I think you're going to want to. Now, Nero, very, very few people support Nero still to this day. I'm thinking there's actually, I think there was an NPR program maybe that had some supportive things to say. There may be now some support for Nero. But Nero has always been considered the most beastly man, perhaps the Antichrist by much of church history. The very worst persecutor of Christians in the history of the Christian church. So from the perspective of the Christian church, nobody worse than Nero. From the perspective of the pagan historians, nobody worse than Nero. Even the pagan historians, they consider him to be the worst of the Caesars. So arguably Nero was the worst who ever lived. So anyway.
Wow.
So I don't know. I'm trying to put things in perspective here. And the reason, of course, is because I still respect the Sixth Commandment, the Seventh Commandment. And by the way, the Eighth Commandment as well, still respect the laws of God. And I think we define good and evil, wicked rulers and righteous rulers, by the laws of God. Point I make in my new book, Freedom, that's just come out. It's important. We can't just say, hey, it's all relative here. All leaders are completely equal. There's nobody who's better than the other. And it's all in the gray area. There's some historians that look at it this way. I don't. Read my book, Freedom, and you're going to find the good guys and the bad guys in history.
Yep. then that's exactly what God says. There is good and there is evil. And what Barack Obama has done here would be equivalent to, I'm trying to think of just to make people understand what he's done by inviting this rogues gallery of people who oppose Catholic teaching to greet the Pope at the White House. It would be equivalent to inviting neo-Nazis.
Mm-hmm. As Nathan Yahoo shows up.
Yeah, to a Passover.
Yeah. Yeah, or Nathan Yahoo shows up and you've got all your neo-Nazi skinheads to shake his hand as he rocks in. That seems to be an insult.
Yeah. It's like giving a tour of Auschwitz and touting it as being the greatest thing that ever happened to a group of Jews.
Yeah.
I can't think of anything that would be more insulting to the Pope and to Catholicism and to Catholics in this country than doing what he's doing, and yet the Pope's going to go along with this.
Apparently. And the Pope has not been strong in his message on homosexuality.
No, he hasn't.
In fact, recently...
Or on abortion, even.
Recently, he commended a lesbian who wrote a book for children referring to lesbianism.
Great.
And so, yeah, Pope has been weak on these things. And here's another instance of that. The Pope is promising the authority to offer absolution for the sin of abortion to priests for the year 2016, I believe, the year that begins December 8th and runs through November 20th of next year. And again, this indicates a religion that denies the power of it. You'll find that in 2 Timothy. There is a religion that tends to deny the power.
They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof.
That's the verse I was thinking of. Bill, I think that's what we're seeing here with this religion. And you see it, again, we looked at Protestantism and the weakness of evangelicalism. So, you know, we've pointed out different weaknesses where there's a tremendous amount of hypocrisy and weakness in the evangelical church, but certainly the Catholic Church represents a fair amount of this. And there's a reason why Roman Catholics are pro-abortion, pro-homosexual at a higher rate than the average in America.
Yeah.
There's a reason why Barack Obama is president of the United States. It's because Roman Catholics vote for him.
Right.
That's a weak religion. That denies the power thereof. And I hope people begin to see that by their fruits ye shall know them. And the fruit is really rotten. It's just rotten. And it would be good to see some repentance. And, you know, again, this idea that somehow, you know, you say sorry about that to a priest, and the priest says, okay, absolution, and maybe here's a few things you can do to ameliorate God. That's all. It's just fraudulent.
God offers absolution by recognizing that we are gross sinners in need of a Savior and that He paid the supreme price.
If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just.
He is faithful and just. Mm-hmm. It's not that we have to talk to somebody and say, you know, what do I do to get rid of this sin? You know, what can I do? Well, go out and do these three things. No, it's just you trust Christ and you agree with Him that you are a gross sinner in need of a Savior because you're facing judgment, death, and hell. And
Bill, I think the issue comes down to sincerity. I think this idea of sorry about that, and then you go back and do the same thing.
Right.
You begin to wonder if there is sincerity. You know, this idea of confessing your sins insincerely. Insincerely confess your sins. It doesn't say that. It says confess your sins. And He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But you've got to be sincere about it. There's got to be a sincerity about it. And I think of faith in Christ as well, obviously. You must believe in Christ. You must believe that He is good. He does forgive sins. So there's this faith and a repentance, a sincere repentance, a change of mind towards that sin that is important. Jesus said, repent or you will likewise perish. So, you know, you get this idea of faith and this idea of repentance, which is fundamentally a change of mind towards that sin and towards God and towards Christ. And this is really what salvation consists of. And I'm just not sure most of these Catholics are picking up that message.
And here's the problem. It's they view God as they view the Pope. Okay. Because this Pope is called the Pope of the people. Okay. He's elderly, he's tottering, and he's friendly, and he's the grandfatherly type. Okay. Most Catholics, in fact, many people in churches, Catholic and Protestant, kind of view God that way. He's somebody you go visit on Sunday like you would in a nursing home. Okay. And you pat his hand and you say, it's good to see you again. And we'll see you next Sunday. And then they go out and they forget about it.
And they do whatever they want.
They do whatever they want because God's confined to the nursing home of the cathedral. He's confined to the bed in the church. And you just go visit him, but he really doesn't have anything to say to you. And he doesn't really impact your life, and he can't speak authoritatively because that's compartmentalized over here. And that's the way Catholics view God because they view the Pope that way. If they viewed the Pope as authoritative, as supposedly he is, then they would be less inclined to promote abortion, homosexuality, because the Pope would be speaking authoritatively from Scripture. This Pope is a weak Pope, okay? He's ineffectual in changing the lives of people because he's not proclaiming truth and grace, neither one. He's promoting tolerance. And then he goes and visits a president that's going to insult his very position by bringing in those that stand against everything the church has really stood for.
Well, what we're seeing, Bill, let's wrap it up here. What we're seeing is a tremendous influence from Hollywood, from the media, from the Muppets, and from the President of the United States. And these secular systems are dominating the thinking of the masses. Meanwhile,
and making us all puppets.
Yeah, exactly, including these churches. And the church is weak, and the church is lacking in influence. Why? And here's why. Because of what you just said, and that is that we have not respected the authority of the Word of God. We're not preaching it. We're not preaching the gospel. We don't believe that if you stand up and preach from Ephesians chapter 2 and John 3, that's the power of God unto salvation to those that believe. We've forgotten about the power of the Word of God. And as we respect it first, respect its authority and understand its power, and begin to handle it like, you know, a 1,000-horsepower chainsaw. Until we begin to respect it and preach it, friends, we're going to lose. And we're going to keep losing. So let's bring back the authority of the Word of God and understand and trust the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And that wraps up this edition of the program. I again want to recommend that folks grab a copy of my book, The Tattooed Jesus, what the real Jesus would say about pop culture. And I think it's a challenging book, especially for anybody who's ever watched a movie or ever watched television or ever allowed the children to do so. You got to be discerning. You got to be discerning. I think it's a heaven or hell issue. I think discernment is a heaven or hell issue with families. You want your kids in heaven? You better be discerning. Better be discerning. You got to understand the teachers. You got to understand the deceivers. You got to understand the times. Grab a copy of my book, The Tattooed Jesus, at our website, kevinswanson.com. And this is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.